Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I hope you survived a trip into sports court there with us. Kicking things off in the 4 o'clock hour. Cosello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Judge Scraby. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan, home of the Padres. To that end, no news. If you're tuning in and going, okay, what did Sasaki decide? He didn't decide. Nor did anybody really expect him to make the announcement on day one, but we will certainly monitor it. If anything happens, you'll be the first to know. But no news on Sasaki, and he's got until next Thursday. He's going to hold out to like next Thursday at 6:20 p.m. or something.
It's like the guys say they have a window. I'll be there between 1 and 3, and then they show up at like...
Why do you even get there at 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
But if you don't...
2:55.
Yeah. But if you get there at 1... If you get there at 1:15, then they will have been there at 1 o'clock.
Yes, they will.
Say, see, we said we'd be there between 1 and 3.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, didn't believe you. Last night, Aztecs looked good.
Yes, they did.
75-60. Over Colorado State, I was a little concerned at the outset, only because Colorado State came out red hot and hit like four of their first five threes, and they were shooting nothing but threes in the early going, and the Aztecs fell behind a little bit in the very early going, but Miles Byrd took it upon himself to make sure that the Aztecs would not lose a second consecutive game. B.J. Davis bounced back after a tough game in Albuquerque. He played well. Wayne McKinney off the bench was solid. And, you know, you look at the stats. Rebounds were even. Shooting was about the same. They both made nine threes. Came down to one thing, Tony Gwynn Jr. Turnovers.
Yep.
Aztecs had 10.
20 of the boys.
Yeah, we had 10. They had 20. You know? And then you look at the field goal attempts, and the Aztecs took nine more shots. That's an underrated category in basketball. How many shots do you get? Because if you get 15 more shots than the other team, you should win.
Yeah, I mean,
because you're just getting more chances to score.
You certainly give yourself a better chance. You got more attempts at it, but
right. You
got to knock it down. You got to turn those turnovers into points.
Yeah.
Aztecs did a good job of that last night. Miles Byrd, 25, 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 9 from the 3-point shot, from the 3-point line.
Nice, Miles.
And 7 steals. So career night for Miles.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Career really good.
Scraby's giving us the look.
Oh, it's time for Chris versus the fans. Let's go right now. Come on.
Let's go.
Don't wait another second.
Let's go.
You had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I want to apologize before we get into this to Brian Dutcher. I guarantee you he was on his way home, had tuned into the show today, and was, oh, good, they're talking about us. And then Scraby with the interruption. Sorry, Coach. No more Aztec talk.
I think Coach
talk.
Dutcher would respect me for trying to keep this show on time.
Sometimes you try to. It's not a consistent trying to keep the show on time.
I'm trying. We're really trying in this new year.
We are.
We really are.
I think there was nothing wrong with getting those first 3 minutes some Aztec love.
I mean, I got to say, as of January 15th, I'd give us about a C minus.
I'll give you an F then. If we get a C minus. If we get a C minus, you get an F.
All right.
We've talked about this. It's okay to save what you're going to say before the game for after the game.
It fit right there, though.
All right.
You're going to get a chance to qualify for a grand prize. I got to hurry here.
Yes.
Trip to Las Vegas, Scorpions, on March the 6th, plus a two-night stay at Planet Hollywood, and a $100 gas card. Scorpions return 60 years of the Scorpions Las Vegas residency show live February 27th to March 11th at PH Live. It's at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com. Scraby, if you can hurry up and get through the rules, we can get this game underway.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question. You'll get that question for free today. Boom.
Hope we don't get to question number threes. It's going to be short. Here we go. First contestant.
We haven't gotten there in the last couple of days. So.
You know what that means, though.
We're getting there today.
Exactly.
We're getting there today. All right, let's go with Alan.
Alan, happy hump day.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
What's up, Alan?
Hump day.
Hump day.
Hump day.
All right, here we go. First question. Oh, this is good.
A doozy.
Yeah. What pizza by the Slice Place would you be most likely to find in a mall or airport?
Oh, my God. Shoot, it's got the Italian flag on it. I can't think of the name. It's like Barrows or something like that.
Stay there, because Chris is giving me a look like he doesn't know.
He doesn't.
I mean, this is a synonymous place with food courts.
It's funny. I didn't read the whole question at first. And immediately as I started to read, I was like, oh, this is a great question.
Thank you.
I don't know pizza too well. I'm not a big pizza guy, as you guys may have discovered yesterday, because I never had the cheese crust stuff.
That's crust.
Right. You're not a big pizza guy.
No.
I don't trust people that don't like pizza.
The only one I can think of is Zabo.
Zabo.
S-Z-A-B-O. Zabo.
You were extremely close. It's not correct, but I can't believe you got Zabo out of Sbarro.
Sbarro.
Okay.
S-B-A-R-R-O.
Wow, I was really close.
Yeah. Okay. Scraby and I come from the same era. Basically.
You cut from
if
that
you
cloth.
You went to North County Fair Mall. You went to any of these joints. Any of these malls. You would find a Sbarro for sure.
And they got... Sorry, Mr. Sbarro, if you're listening, but your pizza's kind of cardboardy.
Yeah, you didn't
well,
know
that's
that
another reason you not didn't to
know
stop.
That. You didn't know that when you were young, though.
Oh, no. Just... Anytime I got pizza, I was, what is it, wolfing it down.
Wolfing it down. Scarfing, is that what you
scarfing,
were
scarfing, there we go.
All right, here we go. Question number
good
two.
Good news for you, Alan. You're still alive.
Yeah, you still there, Alan? Sorry.
Yeah, right. I forgot about it.
What team was Ohtani facing when he hit his 50th home run of the season?
I believe it was the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Interesting. Interesting.
Stay there.
Yeah. Again, this is just kind of out of nowhere. I hate to say. I thought it might have been the Padres. I mean, why else would you ask this? You know,
Padres.
Yeah, I'll say Padres. I really don't know.
There was a whole fight over the ball between it a bunch happened. Of...
I can see how Toronto was guessed.
Me too, yeah.
I can see how Toronto was guessed. But the answer was the Marlins.
Yep.
Marlins?
Yeah, remember he had the... Best game ever played, I think they're calling it.
Like two homers, like a triple.
10 RBIs. Everything. Stupid. Stole like three bases.
I was on vacation when that happened. Didn't see it.
That's right.
I have no recollection of it at all.
He finally, remember, I know he might have missed that moment, but he did not miss postseason play, which was the whole kind of reason.
Right, I got back for postseason play. But
did you miss the first game of postseason play?
No, I got home the day of.
Okay.
Boom. All right.
It was still poorly timed, as Adam Klug reminded me when I arrived home.
Question number three. Which NBA coach has the most wins in NBA history?
History.
Yeah, I don't watch the NBA.
Good on you.
Gotta be... The only guy I can think of is the Golden State old coach. What's his name?
Man.
Popovich or something like
that. Wait, say it again?
He said Popovich.
Popovich?
You got the wrong team and you got the right guy. Team. That's incredible.
Right answer. Nice work.
Stay right there.
He's Golden State's old coach. I'm like, Don Nelson?
That's what I thought, too.
Mark Jackson? And then he said Popovich.
Stay there, Alan.
Nice work, Alan.
You're good, Alan. You're
stumbled
winning.
Right across that answer.
I didn't know if Popovich was ever the Warriors coach, but...
I don't think he was.
No. But Don Nelson at one point did have the record for most
Don
wins.
Don Nelson had the record.
Yes,
I think
he did. Lenny Wilkes.
Lenny Wilkins.
Excuse me.
Back in the day. Pat Riley's up there. Phil Jackson's obviously up there. But, yeah. Good one.
Alan, good job, Alan.
Win for you. First contestant out of the box. So let's go back to the Aztec game.
Let's do that.
Yes, this is the perfect time for it.
Oh, now it's okay.
Yes, of course. I told you after the game.
Back to those 20 turnovers that the Aztecs forced.
Yes.
22-8 points off of turnover advantage.
Win by 15, that advantage was 14.
Yeah.
There's your game. The big story last night in the Mountain West Conference, however, was not necessarily the Aztecs win. That was big to us. New Mexico, after whipping the Aztecs pretty good the other day, lost at San Jose State.
Mm.
Yeah. Nobody expected that.
We'll take it.
So Utah State's still on top, 6-0. They play at UNLV tonight. UNLV's not, they're kind of mediocre, honestly. It looks like it's going to be a four-team race when it's all said and done. Utah State, New Mexico, Boise State, and Aztecs. Colorado State kind of hanging around there. But those are the four right now. And the Aztecs are two games back in the loss column. So if UNLV wants to beat Utah State tonight, it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
Sure won't.
No.
We would welcome it with open arms.
Yes, we would. And it is in Las Vegas. Utah State is, I think they're getting unfairly overlooked. I'm not here to prop up the Aggies, but I am here to prop up the conference. And to be 16-1 and beating Boise State, beating the Aztecs, beating everything, only 22nd in the nation. It's this SEC thing again, Tony. All of these teams are ranked and they beat each other every game, so they never go up or down in the rankings. And I'm sure Auburn's probably better than Utah State, maybe Tennessee, but you know, Alabama, and I mean, every other team in the SEC is practically ranked. Too many. Yeah.
I think, you know, ultimately, you get down to, in basketball, I think you're willing to deal with that because you know that ultimately...
Right, when you've got a tournament.
You got a tournament that does seemingly find the best team when it's all said and done.
It does, but, excuse me, I mean, looking just at Joe Lunardi's, you know, bracketology... And the one thing I've come to learn now, because I used to make fun of Joe Lunardi's bracketology a long time ago, and I said, he's just throwing numbers out there. But now, he's not throwing numbers out there. He's almost absolutely right every single time.
He's
if
got
he
the
has
formula.
You as an 8 seed, you're probably going to be a 7 or an 8 or a 9. It's not going to be far off.
No.
And right now, the Mountain West doesn't have too many high seeds, and I think that does have something to do with the rankings. So... I'd like to see the Mountain West get a little more love here, but, you know, they'll have to earn it. in March, and we know what's happened in March. Other than the Aztecs, the rest of the conference stinks in the NCAA tournament.
They get to the big dance, and it's too big.
Yeah. I mean, we're the only school that's done anything.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Break time. When we come back, something I enjoy doing. I know Tony says he enjoys listening and being part of it. Hopefully you will as well. It is our fun facts about the four upcoming divisional NFL playoff games. It follows traffic on Gwen and Chris.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, the lonely guy, Matt Scraby.
I think if we keep that up, we might spur him into action.
It's going to stick.
Yeah.
You guys know me too well.
We should just say Matt Scraby on the back of the shirt should say, the lonely guy, quote.
You guys know me too well. When people push me to do something, I go the opposite way.
I know, but you know.
So you're going to stay lonely then because we're doing this?
You're not really hurting us, by the way.
Yeah, like, I'm not hurting
hurt myself either.
No, you hurt yourself for sure. You're definitely
myself.
Hurting yourself. You're not hurting us. So, you know, keep at it if you will. Mr. Ello.
Yes, sir.
Your camera didn't catch that,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's the bird zone.
The bird zone. Mr. Ello, you got a playoff edition fun facts for us.
Fun facts for us, but I need a little music to get into it.
Oh, now I get a bird zone from Tony, too. What type of music should I choose?
You know, the same music you choose all the time for football stuff?
Oh, this one?
Or you could play, you know, circus music, but I think this works a little better.
Okay.
NFL playoff weekend, I do have some fun facts, so here we go. First game up, Houston, Kansas City. Now, three of the four matchups this weekend did take place also during the regular season. This is one of them. Week 16, Kansas City handled Houston rather easily. Final score was 27-19, but I remember the Chiefs winning a little more handily than that score might suggest. These teams have played twice in the playoffs before. The first one was in 2015. It was at Houston. I don't know if you remember this game. Kansas City shut them out 30-0.
I do remember this, yes.
Here's one that you would definitely remember. 2019, final score was Kansas City 51, Houston 31. But that was a game that Houston led 24-0.
They got off to a great start.
In the second quarter, and everyone was shocked.
Is that the Bill O'Brien years? I think it was.
Yeah, but man, Houston just couldn't pull it off. Chiefs have 24 playoff wins in their history. 15 of those with Patrick Mahomes. They had nine wins total in 57 years before this guy arrived.
Wow.
And now Chiefs fans walk around like they own the earth. So,
well, they kind of do.
I know. The other stat on Houston, the Texans are 6-1 all-time at home in the playoffs. The only loss was that one to Kansas City. Unfortunately, this game's on the road. Texans have never won a game on the road. In the playoffs.
Wow.
They're 0-6.
Question. This is the same
place that
C.J. Stroud threw the ball to Tank Dell and he severely injured his knee. C.J. Stroud was not the same guy for a few days. Do you think that affects him?
No.
Because he said after it really hurt him to see. He feels like he was to blame for that injury.
He wasn't. But, yeah, no, I get they could have an effect on him, but I don't think it matters. We got a temp check for this game.
We're going to talk about the Big Five.
Okay. Oh.
Warmer than last year, I'm okay. sure. All right, the next game up. In 1932, and yes, I was there. I had 50-yard line seats.
If I could turn back time.
1932, the Portsmouth Spartans.
The Portsmouth Spartans.
Shut out the Boston Braves 10-0. Why do I mention this?
The Bedside Martins.
10-0. The reason I mention it is because this was the first ever matchup between the Commanders and Lions franchises.
Wow.
Yeah, they were both pretty original NFL teams. They will meet in Detroit, as you know, on Saturday night. The Lions have never done well against Washington. How bad? From 1968 to 1997, 30-year stretch, the Lions lost 18 games in a row to Washington. That's a long losing streak.
I bet there's a lot of those you can get with the Lions because they didn't just start being
right, they
good
to beat anybody. Yeah, right. 18 is probably most franchises. These teams have met three times in the playoffs. Washington's won all of those. So Detroit's looking to turn the tide this time around. The last time these two teams played was in 2022. Lions did win that game, 36-27. So. Yeah, the history of Washington to Detroit favors Washington quite a bit.
That's why
something to keep in mind. Though.
That's why the Lions are one and done.
Yes, we know you think that.
We know you hoping that.
Yeah. Sunday, the early game, Rams, Philly. They met in week 12. You may remember this game.
I do.
Philly won 37-20. Saquon Barkley announced his MVP candidacy that night.
Yes,
255 yards, two touchdowns, four catches for 47. He went over 300 in total yardage against the Rams.
Crazy.
This is the first time these teams have met in the playoffs since 2001. Back then, it was the St. Louis Rams. Kurt Warner and company beat Philadelphia 29-24. Third meeting all time in the postseason. The first, I was also there, 1949 in L.A., the Eagles won the NFL championship 14-0 over the Rams that day. Rams are 1-1 since winning their Super Bowl in 2021. The Eagles are 4-5 since winning theirs in 2017. And then finally, I think this is the game of the weekend. It should be anyway. Baltimore at Buffalo. And Baltimore won in week 4, 35-10. That was an ugly day for Josh Allen.
It was the only ugly day, I think, of this entire season.
Absolutely, yeah. Here's the interesting thing to me, a couple of things. Lamar Jackson is 3-4 now as a playoff quarterback. But following each of his first two wins, he laid a complete egg the next game. In 2020, after winning his first playoff game, he went to Buffalo and lost 17-3. Can you imagine Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson game being 17-3? That's what it was. And then last year, after winning another playoff game against the Chiefs, again, Lamar struggled in a 17-10 loss in the AFC title game. But Buffalo has lost the division round 3 years in a row, and each of the last 2 years at home. They lost to the Chiefs at home last year in the divisional round. The year before that, they lost to the Bengals in the divisional round. So they're looking not to make it three in a row there.
This is going to be a good game.
It's got to be a good game. It has to be.
I think
these two quarterbacks.
We could be in line for one of those. What was it? Was it Mahomes, Allen?
Yeah.
I think we could be in store for one of those.
Although
both of those defenses are decent. So.
They're a little better. The Ravens are playing some defense finally.
It took them a little bit of time. Remember, their defensive coordinator is, former defensive coordinator, now the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks. So it took a while for the new defensive coordinator to kind of get things going. But say that last 5-6 weeks, their defense turned the corner.
Yeah. We'll see. It should be a lot of fun. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the top two MVP candidates. I think the MVP vote, they should just come out to make this more interesting and say, we'll give the MVP award to whoever wins this game. It doesn't work that way. Can only vote based on the regular season.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I think Lamar deserves another one. He did something for the first time in quarterback history.
Yeah. By a wide margin.
And he passed Michael Vick. He did a lot of things this year.
Everybody seems to think he should win it, but everybody seems to think he's not going to win it. Everybody thinks they're going to have voter fatigue and go for Josh Allen to give him one.
I just think it wouldn't be surprising if we saw voter fatigue. It wouldn't be the first time. Josh Allen is certainly deserving, so it wouldn't.
He didn't throw for 4,000 yards, though. That's like the benchmark these days for quarterbacks.
Touche, but he also took a team that I think was less talented than some of his previous teams and has got him to this point. So
I was at the University of Wyoming, as you guys know, over the weekend, and we went to the athletic facility. The kids did some weightlifting down there, and they had the tiniest, smallest, one little foot or two high display featuring Josh Allen. Are you kidding me? The University of Wyoming. Who have you ever had do anything in
sports?
Where's
his 20-foot statue?
No kidding. He should be plastered all over the place.
Should be plastered in bronze out there.
No kidding. It was really, really weird. Now, maybe I didn't go to the right place. Maybe there's another area where there's a Josh Allen shrine. But in the athletic department building, there was very little.
That's something you definitely...
I was a little surprised by
that. When you're bringing your school, you say, Josh Allen went here.
Yeah, you could be the next him.
That's kind of weird.
It seemed to me.
Josh Allen went here. You see this little statue we got up here?
Yeah.
He was one of our best
And if you
guys
turn
ever.
The corner here, you'll see a one-foot-high display
Don't
for
step
Josh.
On it.
I thought it was a little underwhelming, frankly.
That is underwhelming.
All right,
let's slide away, get to break. On the other side, coming up in the Big Five, we're going to see how we feel about some very, very bad weather for one of the playoff games coming up over the weekend. There's been a special going on right now. I don't know if you guys have seen it on Netflix.
A special?
I mean, there's a documentary.
Okay.
Going on about the cold weather and how people ended up with limbs cut off.
Are we talking about Kansas City?
Yeah.
I didn't see the documentary on Netflix. Yeah, I got to watch that. I heard you talking about it yesterday by reading an article.
The ESPN story, yes.
Yeah. That was a whole other thing.
Let's get to break. Big Five on the other side.
All right, 4:35. Don't go anywhere. Sam Levin is back in. Did you want to... Did you think of something else fun to say about Scraby while you were walking around?
We don't have time, Chris. We don't have time.
No, I was walking in to ask where I should go eat right now.
Oh, well, I'm sure Tony Gwynn Jr. help you with that category.
Tony knows every restaurant in the immediate area.
He does, so.
Where should you go eat? There's a Wiener Schnitzel down the street. That's pretty good.
Do you like Wiener Schnitzel?
I never had it.
Really?
Oh, you
should like
go
hot dogs?
I'm not a huge hot dog guy.
Then don't go
honest.
To Wiener Schnitzel, then.
Yeah, really
that's,
not.
That's the whole Wiener Schnitzel thing. Why don't we play the open for the Big Five, and we'll give Sammy some tips
leaving.
Here.
There's actually some really good Asian food on Convoy. You can get some dumplings.
Convoy, very good stuff up there. It's
very
a little ways away.
Stuff.
5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Can, yeah, there's a couple Mexican restaurants.
And now you're stepping on your own toes. So play the play the traffic.
Traffic isn't ready. So.
Oh, well, let's go.
Let's
big
get
five,
to a
then.
Big Five, buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, guys, Sam is out of the room now.
Do you think he's just really bored? Is that why he keeps coming in here?
I mean, he definitely is bored. He's not going to be here till 7 after the Scraby Chronicles is over. So
yes,
he's hungry, too.
But he's probably hungry, too.
He's hungry. Okay. Well, this is The Big Five, and we're going to get started with Ha-Sung Kim.
Five.
Because Ha-Sung Kim, it was reported today, his shoulder injury is not healing or is not healed yet, and so he is not likely to be ready for opening day this year. Still looking for a team, and a return to the Padres could be more and more likely. Chris, you're up first. Do you think the longer Kim goes without a team is a good sign for the Padres' return? For a Padres' return.
Well, this is going to be mean. I'm not one of those who thinks his return to the Padres is all that great of a thing. Because, you know, I've never been really the biggest Ha-Seong Kim fan. But to answer your question, yeah, I think so. I mean, the more the options dwindle, then the more the Padres, you know, try to get in there and make a last-minute, you know, bargain deal. But didn't we know this originally, that he was not going to be back at the start of the year?
Yep.
I thought we knew that.
We've known, but it hadn't been confirmed.
All right. Well, it's going to certainly hurt
I think it was confirmed. I think AC wrote about it during the season, at the end of the season. But nonetheless.
Yeah. But I'll say sure. Yeah. The longer, the better. Just like Jurickson. Same thing.
Tony?
Yeah. I don't know how many longer, like, how many of those situations can fit the Padres, right? Like, obviously, the longer the free agency goes, the itchier players get, they might take a little less. But even, I mean, how much less are we talking? You know, Ha-Seong Kim is due a pay raise based on what he was getting, regardless of anything else. If that raise is not that much, yeah, of course, that could bring him back in the picture. But can they do both Profar and him at a discounted rate? What's that discounted rate? I don't know. I think it's a tough question.
All right. We'll wait and see. Number four. Here's the weather game. Baltimore Ravens and Buffalo Bills are going to face off this weekend, as we know. They'll also be up against potentially frigid weather, with the latest forecast out of Buffalo, New York, calling for kickoff temperatures that feel as if they're below 0 degrees. The Weather Channel projects a daytime high of just 20 degrees on Sunday, with the temperature dropping to 8 degrees that evening, when the Bills are set to kick off against the Ravens at 6:30 Eastern on CBS. AccuWeather's Real Feel forecast estimates the temperature will feel more like negative 3 degrees at kickoff with the wind chill. Both outlets also call for at least 40% chance of snow. So there is going to be some weather in this game. It's going to be cold, or it's going to be cold and it's going to snow. Tony, any issues playing this game in the frigid temperatures?
My issues are for the fans. Because they don't have the heaters, the jackets. Some of these cats is out here with no shirts on.
I read the story last night about, you know, in that Dolphin-Chief game. One of the Dolphin players asked the official what he was wearing to stay warm. The official said 2 wetsuits.
Ooh.
Like full-body wetsuits.
Yeah. How do you even get that on?
I probably took a while.
It's probably a fight.
It wasn't going to take any chances, though, or, you know, did the best they could to stay warm. You know, I don't think you're wrong, Tony.
That's what I'm concerned about. Yeah. I mean, at those type of temperatures, as we saw last year, they can be deadly in some cases. They can be harmful in a lot of cases. The players, as cold as they are, they're moving. Like, those dudes on the field playing. The ones who aren't are usually tucked away by those huge
heaters. Yes.
And,
it's like a jet engine.
And so I just think they're safer than the folks in the stands.
And has anybody ever been to an NFL game? Of course you have. You spend half the game sitting there for commercials.
100%.
You're not moving 100%. At all. I think the NFL may have to start thinking about this again a little bit more. I mean, I've tried not to complain about the Dolphin-Chief game because I think people think I'm complaining because the Dolphins lost. I'm not. Go stop it.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you were nodding your head. because I think it's dangerous for fans. And I think the NFL is putting fans in harm's way by playing these games in these conditions. And I understand the fans have a right not to go. But you and I both know. You got the game. It's a playoff. You're a fan. You're going to get there. So I think the NFL might owe it to them to start, you know, moving some of these games. I don't want people losing a limb every time there's a playoff game.
I don't know how I feel about moving a game. I mean, I think this is kind of...
This is football. This is the whole reason why you play for
home field advantage, for these type of things. This is an advantage for the... Well, maybe not as much because Baltimore is certainly not super warm compared to Buffalo. But, you know, this is why you play the long regular season to get these type of perks. But... On the flip side, you don't want to see people who are paying money to come enjoy your game
carted out.
Right.
Well, I get that. Getting a finger cut off.
Or
I anticipated your guys' response to this. And I went to a game on January 9th, 2010 in Cincinnati. The kickoff was minus 10 below wind chill. I actually wasn't that, because I was so cold that it was hard to drink beer in the cold, which is very
hot
true.
Beer for you,
no, but whatever happened to people, you know, preparing for the weather?
I agree. That's true. That's true. I mean, listen, if you're going to go out and watch a football game, maybe you need to invest in a couple wetsuits. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's going to keep your limbs together and on your body.
And you know what we did when it got too cold for us?
You left?
We left. It was really cold. It was so cold.
Then if you left when we were too cold, most people would have to go home about 4 minutes into the game.
I ripped open a hand warmer. It was so cold that it broke my tooth in half.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding. It was that cold.
I mean, if you read the story on the game last year.
Who wants to go to a game like that, by the way?
The Dolphin Chiefs game.
I was all about it.
I mean, that Dolphin Chiefs game was inhumane to people.
Yeah.
Just was. And this one's not going to be that bad.
Here's the deal, though. You don't have to buy the ticket. It's not, the NFL is not making you.
But you do because you're a fan of the team. You can't stay home.
They can do exactly what you and I do. Get it on the TV screen in the warm, cozy.
Sell the ticket to somebody down the street.
I
know.
Come on, man.
I know. Oh, there goes another good point.
What is going on?
I have no idea what's happening today.
Cameras are just falling all over the place.
All right, sorry, people. I'll get that in a second after I read this.
Number three.
Sorry, can't see my beautiful face.
That's true. For all but two games in his MLB career, Justin Verlander has worn the number 35. But for Giants fans, that number belongs to longtime shortstop Brandon Crawford, who is the franchise's all-time leader in games played at the position and a key part of two championship teams, including beating Verlander in 2012. Crawford retired from baseball in November. He continued a trend of longtime shortstops wearing that number in San Francisco, including Rich Aurelia and Chris Spire before Crawford. Giants TV analyst Mike Kruko weighed in on the number situation on KNBR up in the Bay Area. Here is what Mike Kruko had to say.
Well, I don't want anybody to ever wear number 35. I think that Brandon Crawford's the best shortstop in the history of the Giants, and that's 141 years of history. So I really don't want to see him wear that. Having said that, if anybody is going to wear it, it would be a guy who is going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt that Verlander is going to be a Hall of Famer. But even at that, I mean, I think Verlander coming to an organization would be sensitive to that. And in the end, it isn't really that big a deal. And, you know, wear another number. I really don't expect him to wear it.
All right, that was Mike Kruko. Now, Verlander also was asked about this, and he said that he would like to wear 35. Buster Posey apparently got the okay from Brandon Crawford, but Verlander really wants to actually talk to Brandon Crawford face-to-face and determine whether or not Brandon Crawford really does want him to not wear the number or wear the number. So, with all that said, who's up first here? I think it's Chris.
I'm lost. Go ahead.
What are you lost about? This is like the most simple setup of all time.
Just read your
You made it confusing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's so funny because people keep pointing out to me that whenever Chris doesn't get something right, he blames it on me.
What is wrong, though? He hasn't got
Should
wrong.
Verlander get number 35, Tony?
There you go. Oh, so it's going to me now.
I'm not talking
He's
to Chris
mad
anymore.
At Chris.
Yes.
Yes. He should. Here's why. I think that trying to slide into the middle of your screen there. I'm a little offsetting there.
Oh.
Here we go. I think that Verlander's not going to be there very long. Crawford just retired this offseason, officially. And so it's usually a few years before they decide if they're going to retire your number as a franchise. I don't think Verlander's going to be able to do enough in that time to like erase it. And I think they'll be able to retire his number as a Giant once Verlander hangs it up. Now, if he's serious about pitching to, what do you say, 45 or 50?
He said something crazy.
Then you got to talk to him about maybe changing his number.
Okay.
But if he's going to be there for a year, you know, unless Brandon really is like, hey, man, I don't want you to wear the number. I really want to keep it me.
Yeah.
He should wear. Because I don't think he's gonna have lasting power there. And I think everybody knows who watched that Giant team play that they're going to look at 35. They're not going to think of Justin Verlander. They're going to think of Brandon Crawford.
All right, Chris, what do you think? Should Verlander get number 35?
No, I think they should retire for Rich Aurelia. or better than yet, Chris Spire. He was a darn good shortstop. I don't know. I've never cared about a number. Maybe I would if I was in the big leagues. But if, like, to me, Verlander ought to be able to be a Hall of Fame pitcher in any number. So if it means a lot to the organization, I think Verlander should change.
All right. Now we go to one of my favorite topics.
Number two.
CNN's Wolf Blitzer. He loves his Buffalo Bills.
Wolf. He does, Wolf?
He loves the Bills.
So did an old...
He looks like he loves the 90s Bills.
Yes, he does.
Do you remember the NBC guy Tim Russert? I don't know if you remember.
Yes, he was
a huge Bills fan also.
Yeah, Wolf.
Used to mention it all the time.
He's been on NFL Game Day before. He's done a lot of stuff. And so he actually was very happy after the Bills beat the Broncos over the weekend. And he posted a picture on Instagram commemorating the memorable moment. And I'm going to put this up on the screen right now so everybody can see it. There we go. However, Wolf's TV setup is what people are talking about.
Throwback.
For some reason, I believe this is what Chris is doing at home. Sorry, Chris. A 480p TV, a VCR, a DVD player, and about five remotes scattered about his little entertainment center.
I see it up there. I see them. Yeah.
And a cable box. I forgot the cable box.
It's not any of that. Wood stand that has that everything.
The entertainment
center.
Where it has a slot for the VCR, it has a slot for DVD, and it has a place for the TV.
That is a lit setup in 1992 right
really
there.
Like,
you can't get much better than that.
Now, Chris, all this is not your setup. Holes. I know that. You do
it's not
have
our,
VCR.
Our TV actually is attached to the wall, which is, I think,
and it's
kind of a new
age.
Era. Yeah.
It's not 480p either.
No, it's whatever.
All right.
480p, for those who may not know, it's like, I don't even know if they have that setting on your remotes at this point. There was a time where it would be like 480p and it kind of went up. Yeah, they don't even have that on any remote.
No, anymore. They do not.
You will
there
not
was a
find
Sharp Aquos TV that he had.
Oh, wow.
So, Chris, the question is, do you think it's time for Wolf to step it up?
Yeah. Apparently so. I mean, if he was listening to this segment, he would probably be quite embarrassed. Come on, Wolf.
Do you think Wolf even cares?
I kind of like the picture of him in his Buffalo Bills hat, though.
Let me go back.
I think
to
he
the
looks
picture.
Sharp, man.
He does.
He looks
sharp.
Like a good fan.
He
you know,
does.
He's into it. He got his win.
He's doing such the old guy pose. I do this all the time where you put the thumbs up and then you point to whatever. He's pointing to the score with the thumbs
right?
up.
Yeah, it's look. Wolf's acting his age. Why should he act like
I
a
like
teenager?
That, yeah, for real.
Let
all
him
right.
do what he wants.
Tony, do you think it's time for Wolf to step it up?
Listen, as long as Wolf can still see the screen and it hasn't gone too blurry on him at the 480p.
I didn't even know they broadcast.
I think he should stick with it. His stuff is working. Because I will tell him this, as a entertainment center owner, you get the new stuff, man. The moment a new update happens, it's cattywampus. You got to get different. It just becomes a lot.
Now your VCR drawer is just a junk drawer.
But that's
you
the thing.
Need a VCR.
If you change it up, you're going to have to get rid of everything because you're going to have no room. You have any need for all those different slots.
Yeah.
There's just not that much stuff anymore.
I think the remotes speak the most to me because in my house, we had about five remotes. Yeah. And it was always, which remote? Where is this remote?
I'm not going to lie, I kind of missed those days.
I knew
how everything worked.
Yeah.
If one thing went down and it's all connected, if one thing is off,
yep.
It doesn't ruin everything.
Correct.
I remember a Cheers episode when the remotes became a popular thing. Because remember, back in the day, we actually stood up and changed the channel.
We did.
But when the remotes first came in, they had Norm at Cheers on the trying to operate the bar room TV.
Yes.
He had one clicker pointed at the TV, but he needed to point another clicker at that clicker in order to get it to operate. It was kind of a funny take
that
on that
funny.
Situation.
Tyler says, I know those drawers, Wolf's drawers, stick so bad when you try to open them. Not like gross, just because
like
of the wood is settled and you have to. All right, here it is, the last one. Now, did you guys see Zane Gonzalez, the Commanders kicker, right before his kick on Sunday to win the game? Well, everybody knows one thing. He would put on his helmet, and then he would take off his helmet and he would fix his hair. And then he put it, he tried to do it again. Nope. He's going to fix his hair. And then, nope. Did it again. So everybody's making fun of him, thinking that he's just super nervous and this is just a superstitious thing. No, he actually does have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
And he said, if anything, it makes my wife and family more upset than it does me. I'm used to it. Everybody that's known or seen me kick has seen me do it millions of times. Being on such a big stage on Sunday night, a game winner, draws a little bit more attention. I've learned it's who I am, and it's what I go through, and I, above everybody else, realize how crazy it looks doing it. I'm aware. But at the same time, you can't help it, and I can tell you, with slight OCD tendencies, you cannot help doing stuff like that. So, Tony.
Yes.
What was my question?
I don't know.
Are we wrong to make fun of him?
Is that what you came up with?
Yes, I forgot my question. Should we feel bad for making fun of him?
Yes, you should. I mean, it's not something he can control. It's kind of funny. It's entertaining to see a guy put the helmet on three times to try to fix a piece of hair that is never going to be fixed.
He kept doing
this. As soon as the helmet goes on, it's going to mess up again.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You know, I don't think, I think it's, you shouldn't make fun of him.
Chris?
I got two things for this. One, Rafael Nadal won 20-some-odd Grand Slams, and if you ever watched him serve, it took him 15 minutes to put the ball in play.
Really?
He would touch and all these things. Secondly, I do think they do have some medicine now that can make things a little easier for you and help you. So I would recommend to Zane that he try to get some of that. But no, I don't make fun of him, man. He is what he is.
Yeah, I like that he came out and said, hey, it's who I
am. Right.
It's what I do.
Good for him.
All right, Chris, you are off to Aztecs women's basketball. Tony and I are going to take you the rest of the way. Michael Flicks at the end of the 5 o'clock hour. More Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.